Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Bless me, Kate. What are you doing up and out at this hour?
I just had to get up. I took a walk.
Oh, Jessie, the first
snow. It's like powdered sugar on everything.
Oh, you should see your wool top. Well, you'll need warming, so I'll fix you some hot tea.
No, I'll fix it for both of us.
Oh, Kate, you bring the love back into this house. Oh, now heat the pot first, remember.
Oh, as if I dared forget. You know, the trouble with you, Jessie, is that you just don't trust anybody at your stove. Where's Isabel?
Oh, she's out. She thought you'd sleep late.
Oh, I couldn't waste time sleeping on a morning like this. I have to get back to the city soon.
You aren't staying with us?
No, I have something I have to attend to.
Oh, but we need you here. Miss Isabel needs you. Oh, she's gay as a bird, but underneath we're two used-up women rattling around in this house. Oh, I shouldn't have said that now.
You shouldn't have said used up. Isabel would have your head.
Oh, it's the holidays coming. My tongue's as loose as a bell clapper. Well, there's my fresh Dundee bread now. Taste it.
Mmm, Jessie, this is marvelous. I'm coming back for Christmas.
Well, of course you are. But you're young and you should be where you're out in the world, trying it all on yourself to see what fits you best.
Jessie, I'm coming up before Christmas, and you and I are going to decorate this house as it hasn't been done in years.
Oh, Lord love you. Do you mean that, Kate?
Uh-huh. I'll bring mistletoe and greens, and you get all those decorations down from the attic.
Oh, now will I? From the time I... Kate, I've been meaning to ask you. When I was in your room, I saw some old maps and things there on the desk.
Jessie, don't touch those.
Oh, they looked like Tom's.
Well, they're his old sailing charts. I brought them down from Gull Island.
Kate, why don't you throw them away? Or let me...
I need them, Jessie.
And for what?
I'm taking them back to the city with me.
Like stones, weighing you down with the past.
No, it's not like that. I'll put them out of sight when I go upstairs.
Oh, that must be your sister. She called when I thought you were upstairs asleep. Said she was coming.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'd love to see her. Coming. Why, Jim.
Hello, Kate. Welcome home.
Oh, am I glad to see my handsome brother-in-law. Where's Joy?
Oh, she'll be along. I just thought I'd drop by first.
Oh?
Joy is a little upset.
About what, Nancy?
Oh, no. Nancy's our constant, ever-loving problem. We live with that.
Well, then what? Joy's not upset about me.
In her way, she is. She's a wonderful girl, Kate, but she takes her family big.
I know. Well, what have I done now?
Oh, nothing. It's just that Nancy made an unfortunate remark at breakfast.
What did she say?
She said she hoped you'd gone off with that marvelous Tony to a torrid love nest in the jungle. Joy had to laugh, too, but then she began to think.
Jim, you shouldn't let her do that.
I try not to.
So, what?
She knows, as we all do now, that Tony is married.
Oh, Jim, now isn't this my business?
It mostly is.
Well, then that's the way it's going to stay, right?
You do see him then?
Yes. He came up to Gull Island while I was there.
I see.
I am not having an affair with him, if that's the next question.
Well, it wouldn't be my business if you were.
I think you're as nervous as Joy.
Kate, this is the way the world goes today. I know that.
It isn't the way the world goes today. There is nothing about this like the world today.
I know. Everybody thinks it's different, and yet it never is. Joy just wants you to be happy, and so do I.
Oh, Jim, I've spent some very difficult hours on Gull Island, and, well, in that cottage where Tom and I lived. I have a lot of things to do before I can worry about my own happiness. Will you tell that to Joy?
Don't be too hard on her, Kate.
I'm not. I love my sister. Oh, Jim, our lives have been so different. She's had you ever since she was in school. Her strength, her support. She has three lovely children. She works hard for all of you. But she has that security that she loves. And that's fine. That's what I want for her. My life just hasn't worked out like that, and I can't make it fit her pattern.
Of course you can't.
I'm alone. No woman can understand what that's like unless she's tried it.
And tell that to Joy.
Oh, Jim, do you think she'd understand?
Oh, I've got to get along to my clinic.
Just a sec. This is probably Joy now. Hello? Tony! Oh, well, good morning yourself. No, of course it isn't. I've been up for hours. I'm fine, thanks. Oh, Trudy and I had a good trip down. The city? No, not until tomorrow. Today? Well, all right. Yes. Yes, I do want to see you. Okay. Bye. Jim.
I'll run along, Kate.
Look, don't worry about me.
Oh, I can't, Kate, when you look like that.
How in the world did you find this funny little place, Tony?
I have a list of funny little places I've wanted to take you to. We'll order later. Do you mind, Kate?
Oh, no. I just want to look around. Big fireplace and stone walls. Heavy wooden chairs. It's very different.
They don't serve liquor, only wine.
So they call it the wine jug.
Right. Go on, you look around. I'll look at you.
There's nobody else around to look at.
If it was mobbed, I'd still just look at you. I don't believe my luck.
Oh, Tony, let's not talk as if it were all settled already. There's so much that stands between us.
There's as much as we allow to stand between us.
Why did you drive all the way up to the country to bring me here?
Because I thought you'd like it.
It has such a hideaway feeling.
It isn't a hideaway, my darling. It's something new. It's the way I told you it would be back on Gull Island. When we both realized that it was us. And it was going to be us.
I know.
So, I asked you to meet me here.
You didn't want to come to Belhaven.
If you'd rather, yes. I just thought this would be easier.
Oh, it just makes me feel as if we were already in some kind of intrigue.
Well, you can go back to Belhaven. I'll come and pick you up there. And Isabel can think what she likes. Which she will if I come to the house too often. Kate, I cannot live by the rules other people make.
And I can't pretend they don't make them.
I know. You're not comfortable here with me this minute.
Oh, I just can't get used to the idea that here I am in love with a married man.
Yet you sounded so happy over the phone this morning. You sounded as if you wanted to see me.
Oh, Tony, I do want to see you. I'll just have to get used to what I'm doing.
You're not doing anything, Kate. You're being yourself. And you're giving me a chance to clear up this mess that my life is in. Now, is that too much?
No, it isn't. I have things to clear up, too.
Shall we talk about that now? What Stephen Wolfe thinks he knows about you?
Did he say that?
He said it to my so-called wife. I hadn't reached my club last night before she was on the phone warning me.
Is that why you wanted to see me today?
No. I wanted to see you because I'm happy with you. Nothing anybody can say can change what we have.
Tony, what Stephen thinks he knows is a lie.
Even if it weren't.
But I'll tell you about it.
No, wait. Then let me take your hand. I love you, Kate. I want to marry you. Nobody can do anything to change that. Except ourselves.
Do Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Gentlemen, once again, your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. In the Morning Post, there came this note. Dear Mr. Thackeray, what of poor Lady Crawley? You shamefully neglect to tell us. Signed, Araminta Frump. Miss or Madam Frump, surely you have noticed that I am vouchsafed too little time to tell all I wish of my multiple characters. However, 'tis true I've neglected her ladyship, and that oversight shall be remedied. To Queen's Crawley we go, and to her ladyship's bedchamber. Sir Pitt has entered there, and at sight of his wife's wasted countenance, for once in his life conscience smites him. He hears his own and Becky's words before she left the estate.
If Dr. Smollett can't help her ladyship, then you're to send to London for a proper physician.
London? A pretty penny it would cost.
I don't care and you shouldn't care. She's your wife, mother of your little girls, and if you paid any mind all these years, she'd not have faded away up there alone in her quarters. Small wonder she's the way she is. I've your word, you'll see to her.
You know I'll do aught you want, Becky. You've me word.
Sir Pitt did not keep his word, never meant to keep it. But now, as he looked at his lady's altered, faded, ruined face.
Lady Crawley, be you worse than today?
I don't know. All days are the same.
Dr. Smollett's medicines don't help, none?
No.
By God, I'll send to London, I will. Fetch a city physician. What do you say to that?
I say no.
You do? No, that's what you say. I offered. You can't say I didn't.
I thank you, Pitt. But it would do no good.
Look here, this will do you good. Letter for you from Becky Sharp.
Oh, yes. More healing than any medicine.
Well, then, read it and feel better.
You must read it, me. I can't see very well.
Can't see? Can't see?
All is dim and swirls about. Do please read.
What a pretty hand she writes. Kept me accounts, wrote all me letters in this pretty hand. Ah, well, now, here we are. My dearest Lady Crawley, if only
I could... I'd write this letter wearing the sweet red and green mittens you knitted for me. I love them so dearly I want never to take them off, and I thank you with all of my heart. I think you'll be pleased to know that what you taught me of knitting and needlework are not forgotten. I am working a sampler in antique tapestry stitch to send you for Christmas.
Damn! You see, Matilda don't mean to send her back here for Christmas.
Becky is a treasure. Matilda will give up no more than her other jewels.
Oh, don't say it. Don't want to hear it.
Is there more of the letter?
Yes, more. She says, I was so happy when Sir Pitt told me you're better. Fit as a fiddle, he said.
Pitt, I thank you for telling her that.
Oh, it is what you swore me to say. Said it.
I'd not have her know how it is with me. Read.
Miss Crawley, too, is better. And
all is well with me. My own true love, you know his name, is loved by me more than ever he was. I would we could be married, but the time is not yet.
He told you of this fellow?
Oh.
What is it?
All is dizzy. The room whirls round and round.
Never mind the room. Becky tells you, tells Matilda, not me. What is the bounder's name?
When I was young, so long past, and you were young, like Rawdon.
I say, what's the fellow's name?
Rawdon.
Oh, you do have the dizziness of the brain.
Miss, what did I say? His name is Gordon. Do you hear? Gordon.
No. Don't try to sit up. Smollett said lay flat. Yeah, that's right. Sleep. Do you know end of good?
Yes. His name is Rawdon.
Clean out of her head. Clean out.
Never in her right mind would Lady Crawley have given away that name. But no harm done. Sir Pitt heard the truth and did not know it when he heard it. So, dear listeners, bide a while and I shall be with you again.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333 PA, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Ladies, gentlemen, meet Lieutenant George Osborne's father. He is a man awestruck by the British aristocracy. He studies the book on English peerage as he'd ought to study the Bible. And whenever he meets a peer, grovels before him. Thereafter, in daily conversation, he introduces the chap's name as if they'd been friends from boyhood. Now then, tonight, George brought Amelia to dine with his family. Oh, dear me, perhaps the rascal has reformed. Now it is after dinner. Having yesterday lost a small fortune gambling, George must extract money from the purse holder. The ladies have withdrawn. Father and son sit over their Madeira.
Devilish fine wine, sir.
Not a duke, viscount, or baron boasts a better cellar than mine. Now, George, what I want to know is how you and that little thing in the drawing room are getting on.
Well, I think, sir, it's pretty clear.
Oh, yes, capital wine.
What do you mean?
Pretty clear.
Oh, hang it, I'm a modest man. Don't set up to be a lady killer, but I do own Amelia's devilish fond of me as she can be. Anyone can see that with half an eye.
Mm-hmm. And you yourself?
Well, 'tis settled we're to be married when Europe's damned war ends. You and her papa agreed to that.
Yeah, so we did.
Look here, I've more important business with you. You'd like me to go about with Lord Tarquin and Sir Septimus Slade and all those title chaps.
Oh, it's a comfort to me, George, that you live in the best English society, as I hope you do, as I think you do, as my means will allow you to.
Oh, yes, sir, I do. But one can't hang about with those great ones for nothing. And my purse, sir, look at it, flat as a flounder.
Ah, you shan't want, my boy. The British merchant's son shan't want. I don't grudge money when I know you're in good society, because I know good society can never go wrong.
No, sir.
I was humbly born, but you've had advantages. Make good use of them. Mix with the young nobility, as many of them can't spend a shilling to your pound. But there's one thing I do order you to avoid. If you do not, by Jove, I'll cut you off with threepence. And that's gambling, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, right, sir. Never, sir.
Now, to return to Amelia. What I want to know is why you shouldn't marry higher than a stockbroker's daughter.
Well, it's a family business, Papa. You and Mr. Sedley together. You said just now you and him agreed to the match.
No, I don't deny it, but people's positions alter. Don't deny Sedley made my fortune for me. That is, put me in the way of acquiring it by my own talents. I've shown my gratitude to Sedley, and he's tried it sorely of late, sir, as my checkbook can show. I tell you in confidence, I don't like the looks of Jonathan Sedley's affairs. No, I don't. He's been dabbling on the exchange on his own and losing.
You don't say, sir.
Do say and say this. Unless I see Amelia's 10,000 down, you don't marry her. By God, I'll have no lame duck's daughter in my family. And that's flat.
Again, what a swine. Well, George quite agreed with his papa, and forthwith received a generous check. In high spirits, he then hurried to Amelia. What makes him more attentive to her on this night than he's been for a long time? Does his heart warm to the prospect of misfortune, or does the thought of losing the dear little prize make him value her more? Ladies, gentlemen, on Monday I shall expect you, and you may expect your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Sorry, I haven't had dinner for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Farrell. To know you're the best you can be. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Farrell. To know you're the best you can be. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
I take the Christmas tree lights off and put them away. They work beautifully. And the next year when I get them out, they don't work.
I know. Here, let me see what I can do.
You know, sometimes I think that the people who manufacture Christmas tree lights plan that the lights will work just 1 year. So the next year, you have to go out and buy all new lights.
Yeah, well, just a minute now. There's only one string here that doesn't work.
Where's Debbie? She was so crazy to decorate the tree.
She went out with Clark.
Clark?
Yes.
Now she's going out with him again?
Yes, thank goodness. She told that fellow that worked at the drive-in she never wanted to see him again. Oh, here's the star for the top of the tree.
I've got all the popcorn pops, and I've got needles and thread. Where did you put the cranberries?
Oh, the cranberries. I'll get them. They're in the back pantry. I know just
popcorn and cranberries?
Uh-huh. Maynard's coming over. I told him we used to string popcorn and cranberries when I was little for the Christmas tree. And he said they used to, too. So we thought it would be fun to make some, just like the good old days.
Oh, wow, fine.
I got Maynard a pipe rack for Christmas. You don't think that's too personal, do you?
A pipe rack?
Mm-hmm.
No. I think that's a great idea. Now, this string of lights doesn't work either. Oh, yes, it does.
No. What have you got? Alex, now will you let go?
I also got Maynard a pipe.
You got him a pipe, too?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, now, listen, you don't want to overdo it there, Aunt Maggie. He'll think you're setting your cap for him. What's going on out there?
Get out. Just leave him alone. What is it? Would you two look at this? What? Alex, what am I going to do with this dog? Where could he possibly have got it? Well, it looks like a hairpiece to me.
A hairpiece?
That's what it is, a man's hairpiece. You used to call them toupees, Aunt Maggie.
But where could Alex have gotten that?
Alex, you little rascal. Look at him sitting there wagging his tail. Alex Baxter, you little dickens. Well, I don't think it's so funny.
Some poor guy's going to be without his hair for Christmas.
Let me see it.
It's your own fault. Alex is the neighborhood thief.
Oh, honey.
Ever since he was a puppy, he's been coming home with things. And you've always laughed at him and said, ooh, isn't he cute?
Oh, I haven't always at all. I certainly didn't think it was funny when he came in with somebody's false teeth one time.
Somebody's teeth?
Yes, we were just frantic. We couldn't start calling people and ask if they were missing their teeth.
What did you do?
Oh. Nothing. What could we do?
And nobody ever called us either. Although everyone knows we've had this problem with Alex. They'd call you on that stuff. Well, would you look and see if your dog brought him a black overshoe or a mitten or a towel or something
did
like
he?
That? Well, you
usually,
yes. Alex, where did you get this? Huh?
Who do you know who wears the hairpiece?
Right. Who do we know?
How would we know?
Well, it must be somebody who's bald.
Well, if he's wearing a hairpiece, we would know whether or not he's bald.
Oh, this is terrible. How about Mr. Slater?
No. No, that's his own hair.
Oh, it always looks funny.
That's why you can be sure it's his own hair. Nobody'd buy a hair piece that looks that way.
Oh, that fella that rooms with the Healy's, George something? He's bald, lets his hair grow long on that one side, and then combs it all over the top.
Well, then why would he wear a hair piece?
Anybody have a hair piece that Alex could find outdoors?
Maybe he washed it. And set it outside in the sun to dry on a porch railing or something. Evie has a wig, and she often washes it and sets it outside to dry in the sun, you know?
Oh, well, this is great. Just great. Somewhere, some poor guy is sitting inside and can't go anywhere because he doesn't have his hair.
Oh, boy, I hope this
teaches you a lesson.
Well, I didn't take it. The dog did. And Alex hasn't been loose all day. He's been either in the pen or he's been in the house.
Well, yes. I took him to the village post office with me.
Well, all right, but he was with you, wasn't he?
Well, didn't you keep an eye on him, Aunt Maggie?
Certainly. He was right with me every minute. I picked up the mail, and May Gargan said, no, I guess it was Lane Grozier, who was in the post office right then, and she said Maynard had a small package, and would I drop it off? So I came home the other way, cut across lots, and stopped at Maynard's and gave him the package. Then I came right on home.
And Alex was with you all the time?
Yes. Well, no. Maynard asked me in for a minute, and so I just stepped into the kitchen. When I came out, Alex had come on home.
Well, that's five houses away, so it's somebody between here and Maynard's.
It's not Fred.
No, it's not Ray. He's losing his hair, but it's... No, and it's not Mrs. Pale. Who does that leave? Mr. Hickson?
I'll get it.
You know, it could be Hickson. He always looks pretty dapper.
Yes, he does. But even if it is Mr. Hickson, we can hardly call and ask him if he's lost his wig.
Not wig. It's a hair piece. And there's no reason why men shouldn't wear them. You women do.
I mean, I didn't say anything about that. If you're a woman's wig, you could ask. It's you men who are so touchy about your hair.
Well, I'm sorry to Maynard. Maybe tomorrow night.
Oh, dear. Maynard's not coming over. And Maggie was still looking forward to string popcorn cranberries. What's the matter, Aunt Maggie? What is it?
Maynard thinks he's coming down with a cold.
Oh.
But he certainly felt all right when I stopped in there today. What's the matter?
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. That looks like it.
Oh, no. No. Maynard? This is Maynard's lovely head of hair?
Yeah.
just can't believe Maynard wears a toupee.
And Aunt Maggie, will you stop saying toupee? It's a hairpiece.
Well, I just can't believe he wears a hairpiece then.
It has to be Maynard's. The same light, sandy-colored hair.
I just can't believe
it. Aunt Maggie, please. Now, we're trying to do something about it. Now, I've washed it, I've combed it out, and thank heavens Alex is out of his chewing stage.
I wish he'd get out of his collecting and stealing stage.
I even told Maynard one time that I thought he was so lucky to have kept all his hair. And he never said one word.
Well, he's hardly going to come right out and say he bought it.
Well, what does it matter, Aunt Maggie?
No, it doesn't matter. I just can't believe it.
You know, you said it took Maynard a while to come to the door today, and then he had his coat and hat on.
He said he was just going down to the post office when I knocked.
He rushed to put his hat and coat on. Don't you see? Because his hair was drying on the back porch, obviously.
Well, I didn't see it.
Well, Alex did. Is the hairpiece dry yet?
Yeah, I had it under my dryer. It looks pretty good, don't you think?
Well, I certainly don't see how you can go down there and ask him if it's his.
Well, we don't intend to, Aunt Maggie. Now, what's the plan again?
You go down. I'll give you 7 minutes to sneak down the back way. Let's synchronize our watches.
What are you doing?
I'm going down to Maynard's and put the hairpiece on that bush outside his back door as though it had blown off the porch. I'll put it right where he can see it when he opens the back door.
How are you going to get him to open the back door?
Exactly 6 minutes after Bob leaves, we phone Maynard so he's not looking out, so he doesn't hear Bob or see
him. You'll see his tracks in the snow later on.
No. There's a path. I'll stay on that.
Yeah.
Is the chicken soup ready?
Yes, I heated it. I've wrapped it up. Now, I'll tell Maynard you left it on the back porch for him. He'll go out and get the soup.
And see his hairpiece on the bush.
I don't know. I think he's going to put two and two together.
What if he does? This way we can all pretend we know nothing about it. It saves Maynard's pride, or his vanity, really.
Yes, I must say, vanity. I don't care if he's bald or not.
Well, he does. You ready to go, Bob?
Yeah. Now, in 6 minutes, exactly, right. You ring his phone.
I will. Now you get going. And don't let him see you put the hairpiece on the bush. What is wrong? Something has gone wrong, Aunt Maggie. Bob should have been home 10 minutes ago. 20 minutes ago.
Well, I thought it was a very silly plan anyway. If it wasn't Maynard's hairpiece, he may be insulted that you...
Well, just the same, I do. Yeah. Sounds like Bob coming in the back door. Sounds like Maynard, too. Bob?
Hi, dear.
Bob?
Hi. It didn't work.
Hello, Maggie. Well, you see me as I really am.
Oh, Maynard, it was yours?
It was mine. I went out to get the chicken soup off the back porch, and here was Bob crawling down in the bushes.
Oh, what happened?
The darn hairpiece wouldn't stay on the juniper bush. It fell off.
Oh,
and there I was, crawling around in the snow, trying to find it, when Maynard walked out.
I'm sorry, Maggie. Disillusioned? I'm just an old, bald-headed...
Oh, no, I'm not disillusioned. I'm mad. Makes me mad to think that you think it would make one bit of difference to me. In fact, I think you look better this way.
Well, Maggie, to be honest with all of you, I do too. Well, let's put it this way. I feel better. And it's been one heck of a nuisance. But my wife liked it. She never wanted me to look older. Said it made her feel older. So I bought one, wore it, and I've never figured out how to suddenly leave it since one doesn't usually go bald overnight.
That's for sure. Well, come on, Aunt Maggie. Maynard, you get busy stringing popcorn and cranberries, and let's get this tree decorated. Bob, you put a fire in the fireplace. You two men look frozen.
Okay. In the meantime, Maynard, could you do with a little hair of the dog, as they say?
Right. And I doubt that expression was ever more appropriate.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Good morning, dear.
What's that?
Oh, well, I thought we'd all like some pancakes for breakfast.
Oh, Mom, it's too much to eat.
Betsy, I don't want you going off to school on an empty stomach. Oh, I see you're wearing those tight suede pants.
I'll just have two.
You'll have more than that?
But, Mom...
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Daddy.
Ah, hi, honey. Ginger, well, let's see what's in the paper this morning. Uh-oh. The consumer price index is up again, I see.
I could have told you that, dear. Any housewife knows that long before Washington does.
I'm afraid we all know a lot of things long before Washington does.
Mom, I won't be home today. After school, I mean.
Oh, what's happening? I thought it was a half session before the holidays.
It is. I have to do some important shopping.
I thought you had it all done.
One last thing.
Well, all right. I'm meeting your Aunt Cora in town for lunch. You know she's going back to Burtonsville next week.
Yeah, she told me. Well, I'd better get moving.
What's that? That package?
It's a Christmas present.
I can see that, Betsy.
Ginger, why don't we...
It's for Chucky. It's the latest Monty Python album.
Betsy, I really don't want you to be that friendly with him.
Ginger, could I have my coffee?
Of course.
All right, thanks.
Well, bye, Daddy.
Bye, honey.
Mom.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Okay.
She wraps you around her little finger.
All right. That's what fathers are for.
Do you want honey or cinnamon and sugar on your pancakes?
Oh, I don't know, Ginger. I'll just have them plain with butter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here you are. More coffee?
Yes, thank you.
Marsh, I think we ought to look into some private school for Betsy.
Oh? Does she want to change?
She won't want to, but I think she should.
Why? To get her away from Chucky?
I think a good private school would do her a lot of good.
I thought we had a good school out here.
The public schools can't provide the attention a private school can.
Ginger, what school do you have in mind?
I thought maybe Miss Hudson's in Boston.
In Boston? Wait a minute. I thought you meant a local day school or something.
Well, if it's to do her any good.
Why do you want to send her away?
I told you.
Ginger, I'm opposed to it. Unless she wants to go. Which I doubt very much.
Oh, good morning, Allie.
Oh, good morning, Angela.
How's it going?
Oh, everyone's on their good behavior. Christmas, I guess. Ah, what are we going to do with all these copies of the Brixton case records?
Mrs. Anthony didn't take them with her when she went back?
It doesn't look like it, does it?
Huh? Well, let me see. Is Dr. Carter in his office?
I just saw him go in.
I'll see you later, Allie. After all the fuss Ellen Anthony made about having copies made.
Come in. Oh, hi, Angela.
How are you, Jason?
Fine. How's Jennifer?
Oh, looking forward to going home.
Well, that's good. Did she do much walking yesterday?
Yes, but she has some trouble going up and down steps.
Oh.
Jason, did Helen Anthony say anything about the records on the Brixton cases?
No, she didn't. Huh.
She left in such a hurry, maybe she forgot.
Well, we can send them down there, can't we?
Oh, well, yes, of course. Was there any reason why she rushed off like that?
Well, her husband came up for a quick visit. She went back with him.
I see. And she won't be back here?
Well, I'm not expecting her.
How's Emily?
Fine.
You really think so?
As long as she takes her medication.
Hasn't she asked you about Dr. Szabo's diagnosis?
I've already told her, Angela. He's working on it.
Jason, Joe says you're putting off the neuro tests on Jennifer until after the holidays.
Yes, I want her out of the hospital until after Christmas. Emily can take care of her at home.
Joe said it won't hurt her to put them off, but he can't understand why.
Joe Gonzalez is not Emily's doctor.
Well, I didn't say he was. We were talking about Jennifer.
Yes, of course.
Jason, are you hiding something?
Well, it's almost Christmas, you know. Time for secrets.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Jason, every time the phone rings, I'm afraid it's Emily, asking if I've heard anything from Szabo.
Has she called you, Marsh?
No, but only because she's been so occupied with Jennifer.
Yes, I know. Emily's always been like that. Whatever concerned the children came first.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't she said anything to you?
Oh, every now and then. Angela's the one who's suspicious.
Oh, well, Jason, I'd be surprised if she weren't. After all, she is a nurse, and she knows it's taking a long time to get an answer from Szabo.
Yes, I know. Marsh, tell me, do you think there's any possibility he could be wrong?
No, Jason, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you this before, but I asked him to check all her test results and x-rays with John Bowman in New York.
At the Neurological Institute?
Yes, and the diagnosis is still chordoma.
No idea as to time or how much you'll have?
No. None, Jason.
Oh, God. What can I tell her?
Chase, I don't know. But you're going to have to, you know. For your sake as well as hers. I can see what it's doing to you.
Oh, hello, Betsy. How are you?
Fine. I'm going to meet my father down here for lunch.
Oh, well, right now he's with Dr. Carter. You're a little early, I guess.
Well, is it all right if I wait down here?
Oh, sure. Sit down there. I was just having a cup of coffee.
How's Jen doing?
Oh, she's going home today.
Susie says she's getting better all the time. Is there any... what she said, you know, brain damage?
We don't think it's permanent, Betsy.
Oh.
She's having a little trouble doing things, and her memory's sort of spotty.
You know, I've been thinking about Jen and all the work it took to save her life. Daddy told me a lot about it, the heart massage and the artificial respiration and the sodium bicarbonate IV.
I see he did. You interested in medicine?
I don't know yet, but it sounds important, saving lives.
Well, that's a lot of hard work, Betsy.
Ah, there you are. How are you, Betsy, honey?
Hi, Dad. Miss Fairchild was just telling me about how they saved Jennifer's life.
Oh.
I don't think there's much left to tell. Betsy already seems to know a good deal about it.
Yes, I think she thinks medicine is a glamorous career.
No, I don't, Daddy.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I should know that having a father who's a doctor should take care of that. Angela, won't you stay and have lunch with us?
Well, I can't stay too long. Jennifer has an exercise session before she leaves for home.
Oh, well, that's fine. Betsy and I are going shopping.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yes, she told me.
Well, what's the special luncheon today?
Spinach souffle.
Oh, perfect.
It's good, Betsy. Yeah. Honestly.
Hello, Marsh. Betsy. And Miss Fairchild.
Oh, Ginger, I didn't know you were going to be at the hospital today.
No, I was going to meet Cora, but her plans changed, so I came here. I thought we could have lunch together.
Well, sure, we can.
Oh, I don't want to intrude.
Oh, you're not, Ginger. Betsy and I had the date to go shopping, and I just asked Angela to join us.
To go shopping?
No, dear. For lunch.
Oh, I think I'd better get back upstairs. I don't think the nurse at the station knew I was leaving for lunch, and she may have a date. Goodbye, Mrs. Foster. And Betsy.
Goodbye, Miss Fairchild.
Bye, Angela.
It's too bad she couldn't stay. You all looked as though you were having such a nice time.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. To Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.